Let me pray.
Father, we do have just such a profound privilege this morning to stop. To stop and to think, to meditate, to ponder on this beautiful, beautiful psalm. And we ask for your help. We ask that your Spirit would help us to calm our hearts, to focus our minds, to ease our worries and refresh us, rebuke us, encourage us, grow us as we see beautiful things in your word. Help us to see them that we might grow in passion and joy for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to finish these phrases for me, okay? So I'm going to say a part of a phrase and you just need to finish it, okay? What comes after this? The grass is always greener on the other side. Very good. 1 point. What comes after this? You judge a book, or you can't judge a book by its actions speak louder than... Okay, wow. 10 points, okay? You can go home and tell everyone you got 10 points. There are phrases, aren't there, that most of us, a lot of us, all of us, I think, this morning, for better or for worse, we know these phrases, don't we? They're used, overused, maybe abused. And if Psalm 23, if I said to you, the Lord is my shepherd. There are things, many things that are used over and over and over again, cliches, and some things maybe just go viral, we would say, that we're not really sure even why. But other things, I think, like Psalm 23, are used and used and used over and over again because there's something inherently beautiful, isn't there? Something wonderful and helpful in them. Something comforting that through the ages has brought hope and comfort and strength to people time and time again. You think of funeral services, hospital visits, times of grief when you have read this psalm. And so, I'm going to read it again. Let's read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Christmas time comes, doesn't it, with different things and maybe lots of different things all at once, I think, for a lot of us. Relief, stress, joy, sorrow, and maybe heartache over losses that we've had that we remember. Maybe joy over things that we have newly found or discovered or received. But in what can often be, I think, a time of hustle and bustle over everything that needs to be done or in what's going to happen, even in the busyness of good things, we can forget, I think, to stop and to look to our shepherd. And so I want to unpack for us this beautiful psalm, this cliche, that paints such a beautiful picture of a life enjoying God and His goodness. A life that enjoys God and His goodness. Let me just read the first three verses again for you, and we'll speak about these. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The Lord is my shepherd. That is Yahweh. This is the personal name of God. The four capital letters, remember, is when the Hebrew word here is the personal name, not just Lord, but Yahweh. His personal name. He's revealed Himself to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Moses, to David, to all these people throughout time. Yahweh, the great I Am, the present God. He is my shepherd, the psalmist says. There's this beautiful imagery here. This psalm of David, that could very well mean that David's the author here, doesn't necessarily mean that. But this would make sense, wouldn't it? David was himself a shepherd. He knew what this image looked like. Like most people back then, a lot better than we would today. He knew what a shepherd was. He was one. He says, Yahweh, God, the one who made the world and revealed Himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who rescued Israel. This brings up all these images for us as we read. The one who rescued them from slavery in Egypt and brought them to the promised land. The faithful God throughout the ages. He is my shepherd. Wow. And then he unpacks what this means, what it means that God is his shepherd. I shall not want. That is, there's nothing that I lack. I lack nothing. I have everything that I need, he is saying. Well, let's stop there. Do you believe that? Do I believe that? We have everything that we need in our shepherd. There's nothing that you lack in him. What are you searching for outside of him that you think you need to be happy? I was speaking to someone very recently who I could see was trying to find their ultimate happiness, their ultimate joy in other people, in friendships. And I really discerned that they were looking for this ultimate joy in other people. When in fact the only place we can find our ultimate joy is in God, in our shepherd. It is only in Him that we have the contentment to see what the psalmist sees. I lack nothing in him. That doesn't mean that everything is the way we want it to be. Of course it isn't. That doesn't mean that we don't desire other things or things to change or thorns in our flesh to be removed, as we looked at a few weeks ago. But what this means is that realizing that in Jesus for us, God is 100% for us. He loves us so much that He gave His Son for us. It means that in relationship with God our Shepherd, there is nothing that we truly lack that He will not supply. There is nothing that we truly lack that He will not supply in Christ. The psalmist continues in this vein, doesn't he? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. In the Hebrew, this is literally, He leads me beside waters of rest. I love that. That's actually why I chose to speak on that, on this morning when I saw that. because I need that. His waters of rest. I need that. I need my shepherd to calm my soul, to give me rest. When we look for that in other people, we will always be disappointed. There is a picture here of provision. Again, isn't there? Everything this sheep needs, this image, everything that this sheep needs, his food, his water, his safety, his rest, everything that he needs is his because his shepherd's all over it. He's got it covered. He continues, he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness or in right paths for his name's sake. There's a picture here of this calm sheep, a peaceful sheep, because he trusts his shepherd to provide everything that he needs. In fact, that's exactly what he's seeing and has seen his shepherd do. He makes me lie down. He leads. He restores. He guides. And this sheep has utter confidence, doesn't he, in his shepherd, in whom he finds all his needs supplied. Not all his wants, but all his needs. To the point where he goes on to say, doesn't he, from verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This picture is of confidence in the face of great challenges. This picture of God as a shepherd who has proven himself time and time again to not only provide for Israel, but also to protect them. And David had experienced this personally. We only have to think about Saul, who tried to kill him over and over again and whom God continually rescued him out of his hands. There's a picture here of a shepherd who leads and protects his flock. He leads them and he protects them. The rod that could be used as a weapon against those enemies that would come, the wolves, the people to steal the sheep, this weapon to be used in defense against them. The staff that would bring those sheep who were losing their way, it would usher them back in and pull them back in, lead them onward. I want to stop at this point in us reflecting on the psalm and to ask you something. I wonder, do you want to be led? Do you want to be led by the shepherd? The psalmist has just reflected that his shepherd leads him in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And God as shepherd actually leads his sheep in paths of righteousness, these right paths for his name's sake. His reputation is at stake here, God's reputation. And he will not fail to lead his sheep in right paths, he says. And so do we trust him to lead us? Do you trust him? Let me try and make that a little bit more concrete for us. Do you trust that his word and how he calls you to live is the best way? Do you trust in, and even as the psalmist does, do you delight in his right paths for you? Do you see that his right paths are for your good? To not cheat or defraud, to not love, to love your enemies, to pursue sex only in Christian marriage. Do you think what he sets out is actually for our good? Or is he just like a mean parent who doesn't want us to have any fun? Our shepherd delights in what is best for us. He delights in calling you to the best path, the path of highest joy in his righteousness. I regret as a teenager I didn't understand that truth. And now as an adult I do. that he's not a parent who wants me not to have fun, but he's a loving shepherd who wants my good. Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord, in Yahweh, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I take this to mean that as we delight in God, that the desires that we have will become his desires. And he will give us our desires, which will be his desires for us. Our greatest mistake would be to think that God is like a magic worker, that we come to him to get stuff. As many people thought of Jesus, you might remember in the Gospels. If we fail to realize that the greatest gift is relationship with him. We looked at that when we did our series on prayer. You might remember Lee was looking at that prayer is about him, about knowing him, depending on him, receiving from him. But the treasure is him. If we fail to realize that the shepherd is our shepherd and delight in him is the greatest treasure, everything else we seek, we will never quench our thirst from those things. I'm sure you found that to be true, as I have. The worst thing that may happen to us is that we may get what we want and miss the one who we were made for, to know and enjoy relationship with him. The saddest thing in our world is when people get what they think they want and don't get what they really need. Let's finish this. You prepare a table before me, verse 5. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It seems quite clear here that the metaphors change. You might have noticed. The psalm was using this imagery, wasn't it, of a sheep and a shepherd. And now it appears that it's changed in verse 5 and 6 to a host and his guest. So God is the host and he's prepared this table for his guest. There's this picture here that even the enemies of God's people are powerless to stop his lavish provision for them. He anoints my head with oil, the psalmist says. My cup overflows. In fact, he's sure that God's goodness and love will never forsake him all his life and forevermore. And this psalm continues, and it comes to a close here, that these pictures here, aren't they, of a lavish feast, of abundant blessing, of satisfaction and joy that's unending. And yet, helpfully, I think, the enemies are still in the picture in some way. Similarly, the valleys of the shadow of death or the valleys of deep darkness, they're here, aren't they? It's not as if he's pretending they don't exist. And this psalm and God's word more broadly, they don't pretend that valleys and enemies don't exist. We don't invent a pretend world as Christians where we stick our head in the sand and pretend that suffering doesn't exist. The valleys of the shadow of death and the enemies are here in the picture, aren't they? But what did the psalmist do? He meditated. He rejoiced in. He was captured by the truth that he did not need to fear these things. Why? Because he could just look to his own strength within and think positively. No, he did not need to fear because Yahweh was with him. God was with him. In fact, to this point in the psalm, as the first few verses open up, most of the psalm, he's not speaking to God, is he? He's speaking about God. And then this changes, doesn't it? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. And then he says, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Isn't that beautiful? He's talking about God and how awesome God is, how good he is. And then he talks to God. What a picture for us of prayer. He realized not that the valleys did not exist. They did. But he realized, he held on to, he trusted in his shepherd, his God who was with him, who gives him everything he needs, who blesses him, who provides for him, who would never take away his goodness and love from him. Are you trusting your shepherd in the valleys? Are you trusting this shepherd in the valleys? Don't look within. You'll never find what you're looking for. Look to him. He is so mighty. He is so good. He is so faithful. He will not abandon his sheep. Ever. And the years and years and years of experience in this room tell me the truth of that over and over again. This psalm and other pictures of God as a shepherd in the Old Testament, they make it all the more incredible when Jesus says this: I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. This is us. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. For anyone who is sitting here, or for those times when you doubt God's goodness and love, for anyone who is questioning God in the valleys, amongst the enemies, here is the truth that we need. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, he has proven this psalm to be true beyond any doubt. Psalm 23 is proven to be true beyond any doubt in Jesus. God has given us all we need in him. Has he not? Salvation from sin, forgiveness and eternal life in the joy of relationship with God who made us. In Jesus Christ alone. In Jesus, God has given us one who makes us lie down in green pastures, who leads us beside waters of rest. He restores our soul. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He has done this. Jesus is the good shepherd. This is an incredible claim here when he says this, isn't it? Offensive, if not true. He is the good shepherd of this psalm. He is the shepherd of God's people. As we come to Christmas time, we see that God is sending Jesus, this ultimate act of the shepherd to rescue his sheep. It was the ultimate act of the shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Just soak that in. Let the worries drift away in the knowledge that the shepherd, the good shepherd, laid down his life for you. The shepherd is worth so much more than the sheep, isn't he? I mean, how many sheep would you trade for the shepherd? How much more is Jesus worth than us? The perfect, sinless Son of God Almighty, who made us. And yet he's come and he's laid down his life for you and for me. Absolutely incredible, beyond words. And so my question as we close here in this time is, are you going to, in the end of this year and the start of this new one that's coming, at the forefront of your mind and your heart, are you going to hold on to the truth that the Good Shepherd is with you? He's blessed you. He will provide all you need. Everything you need. You only need to trust him. I only need to trust him to remember that that's true. When the world seems like it's falling apart, when my life seems like it's falling apart, trust he is with you in the valleys. Look out for the blessings he's been pouring into your life, even sometimes in the ways you wouldn't expect to see blessings, and realize that his goodness and love will never leave you. Realize his sheep will be in green pastures one day, in the fullness, beside waters of rest eternally, in a way that the scriptures say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Know this and be sure of it. Your good shepherd is with you. You have everything you need in him. He will give you rest. He will restore your soul. He will guide you in paths as sure as his name is faithful. He will be with you through the death-like valleys. He will never leave you or forsake you. Be sure of his goodness and love that will follow his sheep always. Be as sure as he proved that when he laid down his life for you. When he gave up his life for his sheep, be assured he loves you. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Let me pray. Father, the truth is so beautiful, and yet we struggle to believe it. Help us. Help us to overcome our inability to believe the truth. Give us rest in you, our shepherd. Give us joy in you, our shepherd. We thank you, Father, that as we go into whatever this season looks like for us, and there's a mix of us here, I'm sure, with anxieties, with joys, with busyness, I pray that there would be times to stop and to remember that you are our good shepherd. That you laid down your life for us, that you love us, that you're with us, and that we lack nothing in you. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.